And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Chris Paul is in the NBA Finals. What do you think when you hear that sentence?
Man, it sounds damn good.
Good morning and welcome to the NBA Daily Ding from the end of the conference finals where the Suns beat the Clippers 130-103. I am Jared Weiss. I am actually live from the Staples Center right now. I am joined remotely by Andrew Schlecht. Andrew, we finally got to see Chris Paul make the NBA Finals.
Incredible. And his performance was outstanding. After what was a very disappointing series for him so far, he showed up, 41 points, 8 assists, 4 boards. And what was most impressive, things got really tight down the stretch. And the Clippers cut it to 7. And then Chris Paul went on to score 14 of 16 points for the Suns and got that game out of reach. I mean, this is a signature Chris Paul game, no doubt.
It's not just a signature Chris Paul game. It's a signature NBA history game because he passed Michael Jordan to become the oldest player to score 40 points in an elimination game. Really just an absolutely remarkable performance. He is the washed king. This is a man who we thought was washed 3 years ago, and he's been one of the best players in the NBA ever since. I mean, he's been one of my favorite players my entire life. So to see him finally get over this hump, and I assume go into the finals a pretty clear favorite considering the best player on the other two teams is hurt. So it really is going to be a last star standing kind of situation. But he was just so unbelievably composed in that third quarter. You know, I think I tweeted out early in the third quarter that I was surprised that they were sticking with DeMarcus Cousins because Cousins was just such a liability under the rim where he was missing rotations. And then every time they took him out in the space in the pick and roll, he was dropping all the way back into the paint. And that was opening up Chris Paul's mid-range game, which is like one of the best mid-range games of the generation.
Yep. It got him cooking. And that was really it for the Clippers. And the Clippers had another record that was broken, which was really unusual. They didn't play with as much force to start the game. The Clippers didn't. And it took them until almost the 16-minute mark of the game to have a foul called on them. And that hadn't happened in the NBA in 25 years. And
whoa,
so
I didn't know
with
that.
Just that kind of, I don't know. It was just a strange start for the Clippers. And they kind of stayed in it because they had some hot shooting. But there was just some body language stuff to start with that was weird. And then Patrick Beverley like tried to force himself into the game with just like the over aggressiveness with the push and pushing the back and Chris Paul, which was just like totally unnecessary. But, you know, credit to, you know, Marcus Morris showed up in this game. I thought that he played really, really well. Reggie Jackson had a nice first half. But other than that, it was kind of a rough night for the Clippers.
I mean, for one, I feel like Pat Bev shoving Chris Paul when the game is already over and everyone's just responded at that point is very much necessary. It's very much on brand for Pat Bev.
He's so always, on brand, of course. Everything's unnecessary.
I never knew what the phrase doing the most was a few years ago. And then someone said Pat Bev is always doing the most. I'm like, you know what? I think I understand what that means now. So maybe the whitest thing I've ever said on the show. But it's true. I mean, he is just you need his spirit to be a playoff level team, and this team, because Terrence Mann, who I feel like should be playing 40 minutes a night for this team and kind of has, was taken out a little too much in this game by Ty Lue. Ty Lue, I thought, relied too much on DeMarcus Cousins, even though, I mean, hey, Cousins had 12 points, another game where he was a force, but he was also a minus 14. And I know individual plus minus could be very misleading, but it was not misleading in this instance.
No, and they just kind of ran out of guys and probably ran out of gas to a degree too. I mean, I don't think that anybody thought, I mean, whenever Kawhi went down, I don't think anybody thought the Clippers would have gotten even to the next round, let alone to six games.
It's incredible.
With the Suns team. And it was obviously the Suns run should get the most play today, because this is what this is all about. So they got to the NBA Finals. It's Chris Paul and Devin Booker's first trip to the finals together. I think this is huge, but huge credit to the Clippers for fighting back and even cutting it to seven, because they could have just thrown in the towel early, and they didn't. I don't know. Ty Lue deserves so much credit for taking this group as far as he did. And even Paul George, I know Paul George didn't have his best game, but he still continued to fight. And so I give a ton of credit to this Clipper squad.
So, I mean, that's the thing. So PG did have a great series. I feel like he shed a lot of the frustrations of the past year in the playoffs. In this game, he just seemed passive. He just seemed like he didn't have his legs the way he did earlier, kind of from the get-go. It was just funny because he had 9 free throws, which is solid, I guess. I guess that would be solid if he also took 25 shots, but he only took 15 shots on top of that. He actually hit more free throws than the Phoenix Suns did, which is kind of nuts. But the Suns, they shot 56% from the field. So you're not going to beat that team when that happens. They had 18 more rebounds. But there were very few moments in the game where PG was really physically asserting himself. It looked like he was letting the game come to him too much, to the point that it really limited his effectiveness.
Yeah, this is kind of classic Paul George in an elimination game. I mean, this has happened for him a lot in his career, and it's just something that you kind of come to expect from him. But I don't want it to diminish too much from what the demons that he exercised in the playoffs. I think that he really did get over the hump, and really this is supposed to be Kawhi's team. And I think that it's easy to forget that a little bit, but with him absent, I mean, he was noticeably absent tonight, and he was needed tonight. And in other games, you could say like, oh, well, the offense flows better without him. Like, guys get more touches. He's not holding the ball. We've heard all of that. But the truth is, like, these are the games you need Kawhi Leonard for. Like, these closeout games, he's trying to stave off elimination. Like, this is where you need Kawhi.
Agree with that. And I think overall, the narrative around Paul George should be he stepped up and carried a team in a pretty incredible way when a team that is extremely top heavy lost the major weight that makes it so top heavy, and he still managed to hold that all up on his shoulders. That was impressive, especially on a night where Reggie Jackson, who his red hot scoring, impressive attacking the rim, has really carried them a lot, and he just didn't have it in this game at that level. Although credit to Phoenix, I thought Phoenix's pressure defense at that, like, kind of that second level, so when a player would start to break through, they were so good rotating over and just preventing guys from getting deep into the paint, something that the Clippers really struggled with, especially obviously with Cousins out there, or really just when Nick Batum wasn't out there. I mean, that they did so well on that. And then also on Phoenix's offensive side, I noticed Nick Batum, who I still think is one of the Clippers' best defenders, there were a few times where he got screwed up and lost with switches on Chris Paul drives, and they just left Chris Paul wide open like 3 or 4 times in that third quarter. It was insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. And then with Phoenix, DeAndre Ayton played with force tonight. And that was a huge difference between Game 5 and Game 6. For the Suns, was that you had a DeAndre Ayton that was giving full effort. And that was the difference. Because I think that a lot of people, when they saw that basically the Clippers are going to be playing without a big man besides DeMarcus Cousins, it was like, okay, he can go feast and this is going to be over. I think everybody thought it was going to be a 5-game series, but he did what he was supposed to do. And Monty Williams, after the first quarter, said his barometer for DeAndre Ayton was, he's really tired now, which shows that he gave us what he was supposed to, which was pretty funny. But yeah, he finished with 16 and 17, 2 blocks. He was given max effort, and that's what we need to see from Ayton. And if they want to win the title, we got to see the same thing from Ayton every single game.
Sure. I didn't really feel Ayton's impact that much in the first quarter. I think it was that third quarter run. He had one of those plays where he got several tips to kind of keep the play alive on the offensive end. And that's when, you know, that's when Ayton really starts blowing things up for you. It's, I mean, as much as the incredible role game that he has, I mean, his role game, I feel like, is the best in the league right now. And he That's great, but it's when he's keeping plays alive, when you finally get that stop on Chris Paul and then he just ruins it all for you. That's just so demoralizing. It's way more demoralizing than like your pick and roll coverage not working.
Yeah, without a doubt.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Credit to the wings for the Suns in this game, too. Jay Crowder was obviously just on fire. He had 5 threes tonight, had 19 and 5. But Torrey Craig came in and gave them tremendous energy during that run. He only scored 3 points in this game, but his impact was far greater than that. He was actually, when we talk about individual plus minus, plus 28 on the night for Torrey Craig. And just incredible. And we may get to see Torrey Craig in the finals against his former team, the Cash Considerations Bowl. Just unbelievable.
That'd be amazing if he shuts down Giannis in the finals. That would be truly remarkable. And, you know, I mean, he only got 3 points, but that three, it was pretty big. It was right after, Mook had gotten to the line. They were trying to kind of reverse that momentum that Phoenix was having at that point. And that three, I think, kind of gave them just enough distance that the Clippers had to call a timeout down 17. And though the Clippers made a nice little run, that was the last run they made of the game. So, I mean, Craig really came through in every single way that they needed him to.
Yeah, no question. This series went the way we thought it would, especially with the injuries that the Clippers had. And man, for Chris Paul to finally break through, to finally get to the NBA Finals, it's incredible to see after all the teams that he's played for, and to just think about like this is the team that breaks through. It's remarkable.
Well, he's going to the NBA Finals. He might face Jrue Holiday, which would be absolutely amazing to watch. Or he might face Lou Williams, which would also be amazing to watch. And hopefully Trae Young will be healthy for that, too. So we're going to be in for an exciting finals. We don't know if we're going to have all the superstars available, but I do think it's going to be fun to watch either way. And we will have the Daily Ding going that entire time. So for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Jared Weiss. Do not forget to subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/ding. Andrew, we're going to the finals, baby.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.